We all could use some encouragement, and we'll find it together today in the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton on this edition of The Encouraging Word. The Encouraging Word. We are headed back to Philippians chapter 1 as we continue in this powerful message from Dr. Wilton called How to Face an Uncertain Future. You need to know that you're not alone in this. As a matter of fact, God has promised never to leave or forsake us. That we can count on. That is scripture we can wrap our hearts around. But as the body of Christ, we're also committed to promise to be with you, to pray with you. 24 hours a day, you can call us at 866-899-WORD. If you don't know that number, jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll connect you with one of us, happy to talk or listen or pray, but also connect you with resources that will help you grow in your faith. That's 866-899-9673. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
The United States, the greatest nation ever, we've got an uncertain future in our economy. A lot of my friends today don't have jobs, and money's not quite as easy as it once was. In politics, we are the mocking agent of the world. The world is laughing at us because we like to think that we've got something to actually teach the Arabs about how to run a democracy. But our people can't even get together on some of the most basic things, and when they do, they're able to do it for just 1 month or 2 months at a time. And we're entering into an uncertain time. And politics is going to be the name of the game this year, and opinions are going to be everywhere. And agendas are on the table. War everywhere. It's just uncertain. And then there's people like you and me. Oh, some people might go back to 1812 and say, well, that was Napoleon Bonaparte. And you've got to understand that he met his Waterloo. And in any case, in 1799, the French Revolution saw to the summary execution of many. But that was then. This is 200 years later, surely not us. You and me. Well, I can talk about me, and you can talk about you, and you and I, we look at ourselves and we see both good and both bad, and we ponder what went on yesterday, and we wonder what will be tomorrow. So what will we do? Where will we be? And so when I begin to look at me, I all of a sudden find myself landing upon a rock, the church. Wow. Well, look at the church. Look at believers everywhere. Well, let's narrow it down. Look at this church. Wow. We're standing on a rock. Missions. Building orphanages in South Africa and trips to Ukraine with Eddie Robertson to take upward basketball to a group of young people who know nothing and have nothing. Our college students off to Haiti to help share the love, feeding 10,000 people at Thanksgiving, Christmas for others, giving gifts in the community. Handing out clothes and food ad infinitum through the Helping Ministry Center. People rolling up their sleeves and going to work and loving one another and doing things for others. All of a sudden, my feet lands upon the rock. And I'm reminded that Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against my church. Somebody say amen. And so here I am today, looking at a group of people that I love so dearly, and asking a question for you and me: what shall we be and how will we face an uncertain future? Some of my closest friends have been diagnosed with cancer. Some others are facing issues that they have no control over. There are people who are standing on the threshold of losing everything that they have. Foreclosures are the name of the game, and Wall Street is being occupied. So where do we fit into this? I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, because this great man of God found himself facing an uncertain future. In his case, he was in the pit of a Roman prison. Right at the bottom, I look around, I see parents today. I think of Bailey and Stephen with that brand new precious little girl, Claire. Doting grandparents. I think about the fields this morning. I think about tomorrow, our sons and our daughters and our children and our grandchildren, and the pride and the joy, and what we want for them was what we had ourselves. And we look into tomorrow and none of us know what tomorrow holds. And so we have to conclude that we are facing an uncertain future. Paul was no different. In fact, Paul's future was rather dramatically uncertain. He was facing imminent death, and this is what he said in the latter part of verse 18. He said, "Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." I love that. I'm not preaching on it, but I just love that. I just thought I needed to let me know about that today. What has happened to me will turn out for the better. That little word deliverance there carries with it the same idea as the salvation we have in Christ, that God in Christ rescues us from ourselves. So Paul here, in the midst of his circumstances, facing imminent death and a most uncertain future, he lands with both feet on the solid rock. And this is what he says: "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." May the Lord write this word upon our hearts today. And friends, what I'm about to do is put it down the line for you from God. Write these five things down. All I can do is tell you what I'm going to do. I'm asking the Lord to make verse 20 of Philippians chapter 1 my verse for the new year. I'm claiming this. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether I live or whether I die." Paul here talks about having five things. So I'm going to share with you five keys to face an uncertain future. Here they are. Number one, have a keen heart. Have a keen heart. That little word eagerly is something that we identify with. By the way, a derivative of that word is the word enthusiastically. Eagerly. In fact, the Greek word, if you want to get a little bit more specific, the Greek word there means that you have a keen interest. Have you ever, you know, I was watching that ball drop in New York City, and I said to myself, I think a lifetime dream of mine would be to stand in the middle of that million-man crowd there. No, it isn't. I'm just pulling your leg, folks. I mean, the press, the crowd, unbelievable. And that despite Lady Gaga. And did I say that right? Okay. You better ask someone next. You know, I mean, the crowd, the pulse, the energy, and all those people, that there's a press there. And the crowd is all jostling, and everybody's packed like sardines, and they waiting for that ball to drop. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! Everybody pick up the dead, and the wounded pick them up. And everybody is there having a good time. The word eager, folks, means that you are just stupid enough to want to actually go and stand in that crowd. Uh-oh, maybe some of you just got back early this morning. If you see anybody get up and leave, I've just offended them. You understand, folks, here's the press of the crowd. There's a hustle and bustle. Nobody can see. The word eager means that your enthusiasm overcomes all the inconvenience.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But as we study the word together, there's great insight, there's great camaraderie in the concept of coming together as the body of Christ. Are you connecting with the body of Christ this weekend? As you look ahead, you need to know that it would be our joy to pray with you and pray for you in finding the right church for you to plug into. I know that the last few years there has been a sense of distancing, and yes, you can worship via online. There's a way to connect in that way, and maybe it's a good way to visit a church that you're thinking about going to. But I know Dr. Don would be quick to challenge us all to spend some time in close fellowship. There are some things we can most certainly encourage each other, and we can gain insight through the radio, through podcasts, through streaming, through television. All of that is possible, but there are some things that only can be encountered as we begin to become a part of a small group in a local church fellowship. Two people behind the scenes, both Jim and Michelle, are passionate about helping you find a local church home. If you want to call us and say, we need some help, help us find a biblically based, strong, Bible-believing church, we'd be happy to do that. You can call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. But it's our prayer that you will help find a church that will not only feed you, but give you a chance to roll up your sleeves and get involved. Now let's dive back into today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Because you want to be there. I've done that so many times in my life. My brother, Murray, Dr. Murray R. Wilton, thought he had me a couple of weeks ago because he went to Nashville to see the Tennessee Titans play against the New Orleans Saints. And to make me feel worse, he sent me a text to tell me all about it. And I just went to the Weather Channel and found out it was about 36 degrees. I sent him back a text. I said to him, Booty, I'm so happy you're there. In fact, if you'll just hold on a minute, I just need to get up and go and get another cup of coffee, and then I'm going to come back and just rearrange my blanket that's on my knees, sitting in my nice chair here with a TV with HD. I've got this little zipper in my hand. I can replay any play that I want to. Oh, it's a little cool in here. I think I'll go and adjust the heating system. But how are you doing anyway? Oh, I love it. I just love it. Eager. Have a keen heart. Folks, we're facing an uncertain future. You're going to be there. Be enthusiastic. Stretch your neck to see over the crowds. Number two, have confidence. Second part, he says this, I eagerly expect. By the way, that little word expect is a marvelous word. One of my favorite authors, Charles Dickens, wrote one of the most classic of all novels that I've probably read 20 times called Great Expectations. Do you know on I've got to think what night it was. On Tuesday night this past week, I had the most wonderful experience because Upward Classic had their banquet, and they had like a, man, there must have been 1,000 ball players, boys and girls in our hangar, and Kaz was there. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. I'm telling you, the power of God. My son Rob got up at the end and had an invitation. Folks, we had 130 decisions. We had 30 first-time professions of faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of God was in there. And when we were celebrating afterwards, I walked slap into Cole Young. I did. And I looked at him and I said, "When's the baby due, Grandpa?" He said, "Oh, the 24th of January. I said, "Well, you got plenty of time, you know." Next morning, I got a text early. The baby has arrived. I thought to myself, what an expectation. You know, when I was speaking to Grandpa Cole Young, I could see it in his eyes. He tried to be cool because he tries to be cool. Like this is just normal run of events. You could see that expectation. We all know what that is, don't we? Be confident. Expectation is the confidence that God is in control, folks. Number one, have a keen heart. Number two, have confidence. The word confidence means that you are who you are in advance of the event. That's confidence. You just believe it. Number three, have conviction. Look what he says here. I love this. He says in verse 20, "I eagerly expect and hope." That little word there is literally the word for conviction. I have a deep and abiding conviction. My hope is based upon a solid rock, and the solid rock is Jesus Christ. I know that He is with me. I believe that the future is as bright as the promises of God. I am convinced about it. I know that I can face tomorrow, no matter how uncertain it is, because I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm not my own. God has me in the palm of my hand. I am confident. I have great, deep, and abiding conviction that I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or even think. Oh, yes, I can face an uncertain future. That's what Paul was saying. Number four, have courage. I love this one, have courage. That he actually uses the word then. I went back to try and see if it was actually trying to say something else to us. But the Bible here says this, folks, says, but will have sufficient courage. That adverbial tag along there, that little smacking or smidgering of descriptiveness that attaches itself to courage. Paul is just saying, but God, I want to ask you that you would infuse in me all that is necessary to give me the quality of mind and spirit to face difficulties without fear. That's what courage is. Courage is a God given attribute that God gives to those that He loves, that enables you and me by the Spirit of God to face difficult times and uncertain times and painful times without fear. You and I have met people like that. We've got people in our church and community who've got real courage, folks. Spiritual courage is a rock, and God gives it to us. So here we're looking at five keys to face an uncertain future. A keen heart, confidence, conviction, courage. But there's one more. Have Christ. You know, Paul, in the way that only Paul can do,
says this. He says, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Have Christ. Every person within the sound of my voice today has to deal with one of three issues. Number one, concerning Christ. Number one, be thankful for him. You want to face an uncertain future? Have Christ. Be thankful for him. Number two, be settled about him. Are you settled about Christ Jesus? Is he an if, but, or an and, or is he an absolute certainty? Be settled. Know that you know that you know him. Make certain in an uncertain time. And number three, be sure of him. Be sure of him. If you haven't trusted Jesus, be sure of him today. Give your life to Christ. See, Paul here in prison, facing imminent death, an uncertain future, this is what he says. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether I live or whether I die. What's he saying to us? Giving us five keys, folks. Paul did. God did. This is what God has given to someone like me and to you, facing an unknown future. It actually renders the uncertainty of tomorrow irrelevant. Because I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Have a keen heart. Have confidence. Have conviction. Have courage. And have Christ living in your heart. I'm going to ask you today to settle this, to do it. Make the resolve right where you are today. Make that resolve. Say, you know, I came to church today and God has given to me the blueprint of my tomorrows. Folks, all I can do is tell you what I'm going to do. I'm taking this. Don, I'm taking this. I'm writing this down. I'm putting it up in my study, right there where I spend so much of my time. I want to, as often as possible this year, I want to remind myself of these five keys. I want to ask God to write them in my heart. Do that. And today, above all else, settle the issue. Write it down. Settle it. Just settle it in your heart. Watch what God does. Now, we're going to be waiting for you today. And I'm going to ask you to respond today, to come, to give your life to Christ, to settle, to write these things down, to put your roots down, to become part of a Bible-believing church. Make a resolution this year. You're going to become involved in church. You're going to put your roots down. You're going to roll up your sleeves. You're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Make that decision today. Do it. Get your family involved. Teach your children. Read the Word of God every day. Pray and talk to Him. Make a whole new turnabout because God has told us we can do it. All of these things, Paul said, have happened for my deliverance because I stand upon a rock. I've been rescued and I'm held by the hands that made the world and made me.
And what joy it is to know that God loves us so much, He would rescue us, He would pursue us. God is using even this broadcast right now to let you know that He loves you. He is pursuing you because you matter that much to Him. I pray that you'd let us talk with you, pray with you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD and available 24 hours a day to encourage you here at The Encouraging Word. Again, the number is 866-899-9673. Jot it down, store it in your cell. We're available for you. But perhaps the call you need to make is directly to the Lord Himself. You know, you've heard Dr. Wilton as he's been teaching and preaching in Philippians today, but now as he steps into the studio, open your heart to what he wants to share next.
You know, perhaps just a moment ago, you prayed with me to
to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life, I rejoice with you. But there again, maybe you hesitated just for a second, and that second divides you from all time and eternity. Do it now. Pray with me right now. Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. I give my heart and life to you by faith. I repent of my sin and I receive you into my heart. And I pray this in Jesus' name. My friend, if you've prayed that prayer, I just welcome you with the love of Jesus. You'll see a number on the screen. You can call, you can connect in with us through our web. I want to be able to extend that right hand. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. God bless you today.
If you just gave your life to Christ, welcome to the family of God. Perhaps you rededicated your life to Jesus. Welcome home. Welcome back to the family of God. We're excited to see how God is going to take this decision today and multiply it in growing your faith. Dr. Wilton would love to pray for you, to rejoice with you. He would also love to put some free resources in your hands if you'll call us and let us know about your decision for Jesus. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to put these resources in your hands and see you grow in your faith. You can also connect with us on our website at tewonline.org. That's where you'll discover wonderful resources like this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Don Wilton, and I know that most people in the world would identify Dr. Billy Graham as the man who preached the gospel to millions of people around the world, friend of presidents and prime ministers, queens and kings. But what was Mr. Graham like in person? I had the extraordinary privilege and honor to know Mr. Graham as both a friend and as his pastor. Over the years, I would drive every Saturday to visit him right there in his home in North Carolina. We'd sit and walk and talk about families, and politics, sports, and faith, all the things friends share with each other. My friendship with Mr. Graham changed my life, and it is my hope that some of the stories in Saturdays with Billy will bless you as well. God bless you.
It is such a powerful book called Saturdays with Billy. If you haven't gotten a copy, I pray you'll do so. But I want to mention one more book in this particular season of life. There are many of our friends and maybe grandchildren or children that are graduating high school and college. And there is such an insightful book from Dr. Wilton called See You at the Finish Line. It's a tremendous tool that can be used in the hands of a young mind ready for a college, ready for the career they're launching into, just to be reminded of how important it is to root ourselves in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, it's called See You at the Finish Line, yet another book like that one, Saturdays with Billy, on our website at tewonline.org. Check them out today. That's tewonline.org.